Welcome to Double Take with Matt and Jake. This is Jake joined by Matt. As always, today is Monday, July 17th, and we are joined by Jacob Caldwell, our in-house baseball guy. Glad we could finally get you back on the show, man.
Guys, it's great to be back. Wish it was under better circumstances with my crappy baseball team, but nonetheless, excited to talk some ball with you guys.
Yeah, I think we all picked the Yankees to at least go to the World Series, or if I remember right, or at least be pretty much contenders. They're trying to just not be in last place in their division currently.
Yeah, that's a really fun point that you made there, Jake. I don't know. We'll get into it. But yeah, not a fun start to the season for me.
Yeah, we're just going to go through every division. Obviously, we'll talk about some more than others. AL Central is not going to deserve a ton of time. Some trade stuff here and there. And just kind of do a little baseball check-in. And I think we got to start with the AL East just because we're here. So do you want to start with the Yankees or do you want to start with the A's, Rays, and Orioles and stuff like that?
We can start with the Yanks. The record doesn't look awful, right? Like, and you mentioned the AL Central. You look at the entire AL East, you've got all of the AL East leading the entire AL Central. So, I mean, some might say from the outside that the Yankees are just in the wrong division. And if they're in the Central, they'd be having a perfectly fine season. But I don't know, man. It starts from the top to the bottom. Cashman goes into last season, says that we have a championship caliber team if everybody's healthy. It's always the asterisk right there. But didn't make any upgrades. Pitching is solid enough, but the bats are just awful. I think they have the worst batting average, OPS, all of the analytics nerd stuff. Maybe even worse than the A's and the Royals, which is really saying something this year, but just an organizational failure from top to bottom. So times are low in the Bronx right now.
Now that let me see if I can pull up the wild card standings, because I'm just looking at the division standings right now. But you're 9 games back, which sounds like a lot. But hypothetically, the team I've seen rumored the most to try to make a trade for Ohtani is the Yankees. I feel like in that close of division. Makes sense to try to push them over, but you're also giving up quite a bit for maybe making the playoffs at that point. What are your thoughts? Do you want him to go for it, Ohtani?
Yeah, I mean, the way I look at it, there's two routes that I'd like the Yankees to take. And I'm hearing all sorts of rumors. I've heard Ohtani, I've heard Soto. Obviously, either or both. I mean, let's be honest, not very likely that they get either, let alone both, but that's the direction that you have to go if you're Brian Cashman and you want to make the playoffs. Any other avenue I've seen, they've been talking about like a left fielder and a catcher, and it's like you have a catcher in AAA doing great, left fielder, Bellinger's potentially available, but then there's a guy in the Rockies that's being linked to the Yankees. And I don't know, in my opinion, if you're not going to go get a guy like Ohtani or Soto, they should be selling at the deadline. They don't have anybody on this team worth keeping outside of Garrett Cole and Aaron Judge. So unless you're going to go get Ohtani, which I don't know, is he even going to be available? The Angels are only 6 games out of a wild card spot right now, and I believe their management has said that, you know, if they're in the hunt at all, he may be staying on the team the rest of the year. So I don't know, but when it comes down to do I want him?
Had a little technical difficulty, so we're going to see if we can get Jacob back on quick. Yeah, I don't know. I guess I feel like if you can get Ohtani, then you should. I don't think really it matters too much for this year, you know? I do think they probably make the playoffs, and then we've talked about how the playoffs can be pretty unpredictable. But yeah, I would say if you have the opportunity to get, you know, a player who we've truly never seen anything like, then we might as well try to go for it.
Yeah, the only, because they're two games out of a wild card spot, but they're tied with Boston, and there's also Houston. Well, no, they need to get two games to get to Houston because they're not catching Boston. I think the Rockies player that Jacob mentioned is on my fantasy baseball team, by the way.
Oh, hey.
He's doing very good. Picked him up as a free agent. He was an all-star. So, I don't know. I think it's tough because from a Giants perspective, the 2011, we traded for Carlos Beltran, and we gave up Zach Wheeler, who Carlos Beltran ended up doing nothing, and Wheeler ended up being a fantastic pitcher for the Mets for a really long time. So, always makes you nervous, but I feel like the Yankees are playing with a different hand than, say, the Reds or the Rockies or really anybody else because they're the New York Yankees.
Right.
I feel like they're judged by championship or nothing. Jacob's got a text that you're back. No worries. I don't know how much you heard of that, but we were just talking about the Yankees. They're so close to the wild card spot, and also they're the Yankees. So if it was a different team, let's say the Marlins, I don't feel like they have as much pressure, but I feel like because you're the New York Yankees, 27-time world champs, I feel like you have to go for it just because you're judged differently than everybody else. It's kind of what we were talking about.
Success like that over that 20-year span, but I don't know. I feel like they're gonna fall into the trap of the remaining New York sports teams that are just like painfully average, and that's what the Yankees have been for the past 15 or so years. They've had a couple of years where they've had a shot at a World Series, but I mean, this team is nowhere near World Series ready. So in my opinion, they're not gonna go get one of those big name guys.
Now, one team I want to talk about in the AL East is the Orioles, because I was high on them last year, I was high on them this year, but I pessimistically high, or cautiously high, just because they did have a lot of young guys, didn't know how Rushman was going to perform. Rushman's been awesome, their pitching's been awesome. I'm forgetting the name of the closer, but one of the best closers in baseball. I think that combined with the Blue Jays living close to up to their potential, Kevin Gausman is pitching fantastically for them, not helping the Yankees' case at all. Plus, Boston started the second half on a little bit of a heater, 8-2 in their last 10. So, not a lot of things working for your boys.
It's just a matter of drafting extremely well, developing extremely well, and then you look at it now, they're 22 games above 500, a game out of first place in the division. So, I mean, that's just a team that's on the right trajectory.
Yeah, now, I mean, speaking of the Royals and the AL Central, man, the Royals only have 27 wins. I didn't realize that was that bad because they actually beat the Giants in their series earlier this year. They won 2 out of 3. But Twins are two games, well, really one game above 500, 48-46. For a big chunk of the season, no team in that division had a winning record. So I don't know how much we have to say about the AL Central other than someone gets in automatically, and it sucks for the AL East that instead of one of those teams, the Twins are going to get in. But I didn't realize it was that bad for the Royals. Now I think the most fascinating division and the most surprising team in baseball, in my opinion, as well, is in the AL West. Texas Rangers. What a team. What a role. I shouldn't be too surprised because they do have three-time World Series champ Bruce Bochy managing them. But even with some DeGrom injuries, their lineup's been super lethal. They had, I think, the most All-Stars, at least from the American League. They've just been crushing it. And you got my Mariners sitting at only at 500. Rangers are three games up on the Astros. Angels are two games under 500, but kind of just hanging out there. Obviously, the Athletics are terrible. But I don't know what you two say, but I thought the Rangers would push for a playoff spot and that'd be a pretty good season, but they've been dominant, or maybe a half step below dominant. They've been incredible, though, and I've been pleasantly surprised with them.
Absolutely. I mean, I would even say that they've been dominant. I mean, that record is very solid. To be ahead of Houston at the break is extremely impressive. I still think Houston wins the division if I had to put my money on it right now, but I don't see a reason why. Well, I mean, I guess with the AL East situation, it might be tough to make a wild card spot. Are they there right now? I guess they're winning, but Houston has a wild card spot. So, yeah, I mean, that last wild card spot is going to be tough to get if you don't win your division in terms of the AL Central and the West. But, I mean, it makes a lot of sense that you would see Houston and Texas make the playoffs at this point.
I would love to see them play in the playoffs. I think that would be an awesome matchup.
That would be a lot of fun. Yeah, kind of surprising. I'm pretty sure that I had the Mariners picked higher, you know, and 500 is not terrible, but I think they've got to be disappointed after making the playoffs for the first time in however many years last year.
They're my World Series pick. I thought they were going to – I didn't go in the World Series. I should have picked the Orioles because I was trying to pick, like, a young team, hasn't done it before. I picked the Mariners, but I should have picked the Orioles. Or the Rangers, apparently, because I was high on the Rangers, and I bet them to win the over. I just didn't think they'd beat Houston and Seattle. I thought they'd finish third but still make the playoffs. I thought both wild card spots were going to come from that AL West division. My Mariners are bumming me out here. But, yeah, so let's see. So Rangers 55 and 39. Rays still the top team. So if the playoffs started today, if I'm reading it right, Rays would be the one seed. Rangers would be the two, and then the Twins, unfortunately, would be the three. And then the wild card teams would be Baltimore, Toronto, and Houston. Man, that's tough. So even Boston would miss it. Tough look.
Yeah, very tough.
I'm excited because a lot of stuff's going to change with the trade deadline. Obviously, Ohtani's the biggest name, but a lot of stuff going on. Let's look at the National League real quick here, because another team that's been pleasantly surprising, and when I say pleasantly surprising, I don't have any affiliation to the Rangers or the Braves, but the Braves, I think, hit the most home runs by any team before the All-Star break. Ronald Acuna is the only player to have, I think it was like 20 home runs and like 20 stolen bases, or like before the All-Star break, some crazy stat like that. They've been on a tear. Marlins also much better than I think most people expected. They're still 10 games back, though. But we do have a contender for most disappointing team in the Mets. They're not my ultimate winner. We'll skip to the NLS for that. But, man, what a crappy year for the Mets. And you wonder if they get Carlos Correa, if it's a little bit different. I don't know how much impact one player would make. I don't know what's going on in New York in general, but especially – does that make you feel better that you're not the most dysfunctional team in New York?
It kind of does, if I'm being honest. But I saw something today that was like, at least the Mets and the Yankees can both agree on one thing, and it's that they hate baseball right now.
Yeah,
so, Jake, I'm kind of with you. I mean, they'd be better with Carlos Correa, but I don't think they'd be, you know, they would need 10 more wins to be tied with the Marlins. I don't know if he's 10 more wins making him better. So yeah, huge disappointment. I had the Phillies potentially winning the World Series, actually, and they've had a good year. They're beating, you know, both the Yankees and the Red Sox, obviously, in the American League. They're not in a wild card spot because the NL West is so good, but they're definitely in the
half a game back. Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, the Braves are, you know, best record in baseball. I think we thought they'd be good, but I think we all had the, or I certainly had the Mets and the Phillies quite a bit ahead of them.
Yeah, I was just worried about the lack of short, like Dansby Swanson leaving. And we are going to talk about Dansby Swanson's wife in the World Cup preview. But that was my biggest concern. Maybe I was overlooking that or overthinking it. That was the only reason I thought the Braves wouldn't do so well. But there, Matt Olson has been playing fantastic. Obviously, Acuna, you can argue, has been the best player in the National League. Obviously, Ohtani's the best player in baseball. But I think you make a legit argument, and I'm blanking off the top of my head who would be better. Maybe Mookie Betts in the National League. But Acuna has been on a tear. Oh, you know who actually you can make an argument is the, and I'm going to mispronounce the name, but the Arias guy, Arias, who's at batting like 390 or something right now.
Oh, yeah, the 400 chase.
Yeah, that, what's something comparable in another sport to that? Like batting 400 in baseball, I can't even think, because even like shooting like 95% from the free throw line, I don't feel like is as impressive as that.
Yeah, like maybe like 48% from three, like Steph Curry three-point numbers maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, almost batting 400 is unbelievable for the Marlins.
It's really hard to do. Like, you are considered very successful in this sport if you're getting on base 30% or getting a hit 30% of the time, and this guy pushing 40% is almost unheard of. Without looking it up, I can't even think of the last time that was done.
Well, I think a few years ago, Altuve batted like 332, and it was like the most incredible thing in years. And this guy's almost at 400.
And meanwhile, I think the Yankees team batting average is like 220. Maybe even less than that.
Man. Now, NL Central. I feel bad for the Central Division. There's just not a lot of exciting stuff going on. Brewers are ahead. I think the most exciting thing, they're twofold. One positive, Elia De La Cruz, who we're watching right now because the Reds are playing the Giants. So we're watching, at least Matt and I are watching that game right now. He's been the most exciting rookie in baseball. But I think the bigger storyline, big picture perspective, is just the Cardinals are terrible. 40-53 as of this recording. They had that kind of dust up with their manager and O'Neill at the beginning of the season, where the manager challenged him for like not running through a base hard enough. And it just seems like really the opposite of everything St. Louis is. You think of them as like a super functional, well put together, play hard franchise. And it's just kind of falling apart this season. It's from a nostalgia perspective, it's kind of sad to see, because I feel like St. Louis is one of the teams you want to see in the playoffs every year doing well.
Definitely picked the Cardinals, and then I probably picked the Dodgers, but I think I had the Padres right up there, and they've been extremely disappointing as well. So yeah, I mean, like you said, I don't have anything against St. Louis. I mean, growing up in Kansas City, the Royals and the Cardinals don't really love each other by any means, but I mean, and Jake, you'll appreciate this because you like to tweet about it throughout all of college football, but I think the Cardinals have some of the coolest uniforms in the entire league.
So, oh, they're dope.
Reason that I can cheer for them.
Every time I tweet about uniforms now, I wonder, like, oh, is he sending this tweet to Jesse? Like,
I do appreciate it. It's fun to look at, so I'll give you that.
The Cardinals uniforms are sick, though. Like, the two birds on the bat, what a look that is. Or, like, when they do the powder blue.
It's old school baseball. I like to see that.
It's so cool. Yeah, and you think of the Cardinals, you think, they're just always good. They're like, I don't, other than like maybe Royals fans or like Cubs fans, but I don't feel like a lot of neutral people hate the Cardinals. I'm not saying I like them, but it's this like, I think it's interesting when they're good because they're one of like the classic teams, like Cardinals, Yankees, Cubs, Red Sox. I don't like the Dodgers, but you know what I mean? They're like one of those like framework teams of baseball.
Steelers, like, they may not always be the best team, but they're all like, Tomlin's never had a losing season in Pittsburgh. It's like, that's how I view like the Cardinals. Like, I don't ever expect them to be a bottom tier team. I always expect them like at least 500, likely to make the playoffs.
Yeah, I think if I remember right, I picked them to win this division just because they're the Cardinals.
They did have a great year last year. I mean, Arenado and Goldschmidt, weren't they both up for MVP last year in the NL? And, like, I don't know. I thought they were going to be a really solid team this year.
Yeah, well, in the wild card series against the Phillies, they were up 2-0 in the ninth inning and then gave up 4 runs. But you wonder if they win that game, if Philly makes a World Series, if how deep the Cardinals can go. It's obviously very possible Philly just wins the next three anyway. But, like, they had a chance to make a little bit of run in the playoffs, and they just kind of blew it in that one inning.
Yeah, definitely shocking. I don't know. I mean, the Mets kind of surprised me this year. They have had some injuries, so I'll give them that. But I think the Cardinals was the biggest shock to me. I hands down thought that they were going to win the Central. So, definitely surprising. But, I mean, they're only, you say only, but they're 11 games out. I don't think anyone in that division is crazy strong. So, I mean, I don't know. Can you turn anything around? Do you sell at the deadline? I don't know. They're definitely not in a position that the Royals are right now. Like, you could still see the playoffs if you're the Cardinals.
No, I was just going to agree that, yeah, there's, you know, more of a route for them than I think any of the other last place teams just because of the division that they're in.
Now, I would say the most disappointing team, not the most shocking, because they're the Padres, but, man, what a letdown for the Padres. Oh, we got Juan Soto. Oh, we got blah, blah. Oh, we're going to beat the Dodgers. Like, you can't even beat the Diamondbacks, guys. Just relax. Take a breath. It's, yeah. If you're the Padres, do you sell, or are you too prideful and you just keep going for it?
Admittedly, I don't watch as much of the West just because their games start at 10 p.m. my time, so I really only see highlights and records. But, I mean, what do you know? What's the main issue? I mean, they're in your team's division, so, like, why are they not, you know, making things happen like their roster on paper says that they should be?
Well, big thing is they're not hitting, like, runners in scoring position. Their batting average is terrible. I wonder, though, if they're just kind of not gelling. I don't know what else it'd be. Juan Soto signed a 1-year extension, so he's going to be a free agent after this year. So that's why I'm wondering if you're the Padres, because Soto's agent is, this is embarrassing, I'm blanking on his name, who's the one baseball agent who everybody knows?
Scott Boras.
Yeah, Scott Boras. That was embarrassing. So he's a Boras client, if I remember right. So he's going to free agency no matter what. You gave up a ton to get him. Like a bunch of your top prospects, do you pull, like, I don't know why no one's talking about it, like everyone's talking, just because Ohtani's a bigger star, maybe it makes sense to keep him and just try to re-sign him, but I feel like you got to gauge if you have a chance of re-signing Soto, and if you don't, I feel like the Padres are in a bigger, a more desperate spot to trade and sell than the Angels are. Maybe they sell Snell whatever, but they're 10 games back of the Dodgers in their division, plus they're in fourth place behind the Giants and the Diamondbacks, 8 games out of a wild card spot, and they're 7.5 behind. No, yeah, they're 8 games behind the third place team, plus there's 2 teams ahead of them even to get up there. I don't feel like there's any shot the Padres have in making the playoffs. You know what they could do, and this would be tough to swing, but they could pull a Yankees, trade Aroldis Chapman, get Gleyber Torres back, and then just sign Chapman back in the offseason.
There you go. That's a way to do it. That would have paid off in any sort of hardware whatsoever other than getting swept by the Astros.
You know, it's fun to say it, though.
You're right, exactly.
It's a fun thing. Yeah, that worked out better for the Cubs, I guess. Now, I hate that I'm right about this, but everyone was, at the start of the season, was like, Padres, 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 or at least most people were. And I was like, guys, Dodgers have won this division, I think, 8 out of 9 years. They're the Dodgers at the end of the day. It's kind of like I'd rather be late on betting against LeBron. I'd rather be late against betting against Tom Brady. I'd rather be late to bet against the Dodgers winning that division, as much as I hate it, just because they are the Dodgers. Mookie Betts is crushing. Like, they just find, they are, speaking of, like, well-run organizations, their scouting's fantastic, their analytics is super good, they have a good farm system with players coming up. They just find ways on top of the star power they have to bring guys back. The Giants, though, my favorite team, started the season not so great, then went on a little bit of a tear. Since May, they have a better record than everybody in the NL West. They've been crushing it. They're tied 2-2 with the Reds right now. I think they're obviously not a guarantee, but I feel like they got a good shot of sneaking in the playoffs. So I'm pleasantly surprised with how this season's going. I thought they'd be fourth in the division.
Just the staples of the West now at this point is to see the Dodgers and the Giants going after it. So I'd like to see them sneak in. They've got a spot if the playoffs started today, but in true National League fashion, you're probably going to have, you know, 6-7 teams within 3 games come October. So it'll be interesting to see. But I mean, you've won 5 in a row. It's a hot start into the second half here. So we'll see what happens over the next couple months.
Well, yeah, I was just going to say, I'm looking at, you know, teams that realistically are going to have wild card shots. I think it's Marlins, Phillies, Reds, Giants, Diamondbacks. That's 5 teams for 2 spots, right? Or is it 3 now?
3.
3 now.
But plus you got to add the Brewers and the Dodgers because they're less than 2 games up in their own divisions.
Oh, yeah. But I mean, so yeah, 5 spots for, or 5 teams. You know, and we may switch out the Brewers or the Dodgers for one of those. But who do you guys have anybody that you like to either sneak in and win the division or grab those wild card spots?
If I'm picking the wild card, oh, sorry, Jacob.
No, you go ahead.
I was going to say I would pick San Francisco, Arizona, and Philadelphia to be in the National League wild card if it was today. I'm kicking Miami out. I think part of it is because Philly got Bryce Harper's back. I feel like he's getting a bit of a groove. They're only a game up on, or Miami's only a game up on Philly. So yeah, I'm kicking Miami out. But I think it'd be cool if they win. I think it'd be a cool story. But I think Philly with Harper, I think they're getting healthy. I feel like they can make a push and sneak into the wild card spot.
Appreciate
it.
Giants in there would be great, but the one that I really hope can find a way in, and I meant to talk about this earlier when we touched on the NL Central, is the Reds. I love Ellie De La Cruz.
He's good. This is the first.
He's so fun to watch. Did you see him get from first to home in 2 pitches a couple games ago, or like a week ago?
Yeah, against the Phillies, ironically. Big series. Yeah, the Giants are playing the Reds, so this is my first time watching him, like, a full-on game. And man, he has a cannon. He had a throw from third to first that was 96 miles an hour.
I think I actually saw that. I think I saw a clip on Twitter. I don't know if it was last night. I'm sure he's had a few throws like that, but just a laser of an arm.
Isn't Joey Votto's going to have to start wearing a catcher's mitt at first. If we're handicapping the wild card in the American League, and I don't know if you wanted that information as well, Matt, but we're going to give it to you.
Let's go for it.
So I would go, I think the Rays are going to win. So I would go Baltimore, Toronto. I think Texas holds out. So I would pick Houston to sneak in. So I'd say the wild card in the American League stays pat. If you look at the run differential, those top three teams, plus 53, plus 44, plus 51, then you drop down to Boston and New York, plus 32, plus 17, respectively. So that's a pretty big gap. Obviously, I'd love to be wrong, Jacob, and see your boys in it. But I feel like without some moves at the trade deadline, that's going to change everything. But unless they're trade deadline winners, I don't know if they have the guns to get up there.
Stay as they are right now, or if they sell, or if they get just a random piece that's not a top of the league player, no chance they're getting in. And I agree, I think it'll be those three teams that you see there right now. Maybe you change Houston and Texas of who wins that division. I mean, Baltimore's only a game behind Tampa right now, so you might even change those out. But I mean, I kind of think you see your six AL postseason teams right there as they are.
May 2nd. 1 month into the season, 2:30 p.m., Yankees are missing the playoffs. Hold me to it. This team is cooked to expletive.
I'm really glad that you found that. I was trying to find it as I was talking, but yeah, that sounds about right.
That's May 2nd, awesome.
I did not realize it was that early.
That was pretty early. Because the Yankees opening series was against the Giants and they went 2-1, but a dominant 2-1, I would say. So that's when the Giants were looking pretty crappy. And I thought the Yankees were going to be on a tear and they've gone opposite ways.
Yeah, well, I mean, we just lost a series to the mighty Colorado Rockies coming out of the break. So things are really looking up.
Well, let's do a mid-season heat check for World Series picks. So we don't do the whole playoffs, but if we're picking who's going to win the World Series today, I think I'm going to pick the Braves to beat. I'm going to be brave and pick the Orioles. I really, really like that team.
Joking. But I have Rays beating the Astros and Braves beating the Dodgers, so, and then I have Braves beating the Rays in the World Series.
Okay. So both of us same line of logic for the most part. AL East team losing to the Braves in the World Series. Matt, you picking the Phillies?
No, I don't think I'm going to go with the Phillies. I think the Braves just look too good right now. I'm going to go, yeah, and it's hard not to pick the Rays or the Orioles, right? You know, so yeah,
I wanted to pick Texas, but I wasn't down.
Yeah. So I'll go with the Orioles. And then, yeah, you know, right now it just, you know, picking the Braves makes the most sense until somebody makes a trade.
Yeah. I was going to say something that I don't remember. So I guess I'll skip it. Oh, I was going to say, speaking of like team building and organization, Atlanta, if you look at like Acuna, Austin Riley, Ozzie Albies, Strider, Matt Olson, like all their young guys, they do such a good job of locking them up for early in a long time. And they obviously felt comfortable enough to let Swanson go and haven't been missing him. But Atlanta's been as good of a team building team as any, yeah.
there's something to be said about, I mean, seeing that talent, you know, I know they develop these guys too, but being able to, like, see early on, like, hey, they are going to be really good, and lock them down before they get to that chance where they can negotiate even further. I mean, the deals that they have these guys on, are, they look like bargains.
Albie's making, like, nothing. I think his whole deal was worth, like, $63 million or something like that. Like, it might have been, yeah, it was nothing. Like, well, I mean, I think he could have signed for like $200 or $300 million in free agency if he hit it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll see. I don't know. Anyway, rain delay in Cincinnati. That's lame. Jacob, thanks for coming on. Any last picks here before we let you go? Any last words of advice?
Sweepstakes for getting up to 400 by the end of the year. That'd be really cool.
Just so it's not a Red Sox who has that. Exactly. Yeah. you know, Ted Williams, I've always said the only person who you're allowed to debate that Barry Bonds isn't the best hitter is Ted Williams. He has some just unbelievable stats.
Yeah, I mean, 1941's a different time back in the tungsten arm Johnson stat days, but yeah, I mean, the stats that guy has is insane. There's a reason that nobody's hit 400 since he did it. It's extremely challenging to do.
It's honestly, yeah. It's crazy, like, a sport where you can't, like, any other sport, any basic stat, there's, like, a dog or something in the rain tarp in the Cincinnati game. Or maybe it's, like, a purser, I don't know.
I bet it's a dude, but.
Yeah, no, it is unbelievable. So we'll have to be on a Arias watch or Arias or however you're saying his name. Okay, they're showing the replay. Let's see if a person fell down or something. Yep. Oh, we lost him. We lost him.
There he goes. And they just keep going. Not going to let him get out. They're just going to keep going.
All right. Well, Jacob, thank you for coming on, man. Appreciate it.
Anytime, guys. Thanks for having me on again. Talk to you soon.
Okay. All right, big thanks to Jacob Caldwell for coming on the show. Some technical difficulty for sure, so hopefully you can hear him. Hopefully he's not too faint there. Couple things to talk about here. Again, this is our last episode for a couple weeks. Obviously, the Wimbledon final we're going to talk about quickly, but then we're going to do our World Cup preview. Matt and I both have been scouring, trying to get some good breakdowns, you know, just do as much homework as we could to talk about this. And we haven't been able to find anything. So what that means is I feel confident saying we're going to be the best Women's World Cup preview that we've been able to find. If you can find anything better, let us know.
Yeah, no, there's some, there's a couple of good podcasts, like the Total Soccer Show has done a really good job. They're kind of my go-to for any soccer stuff, so they've done a good preview. I know The Athletic has one. But yeah, and I guess we're going to be a podcast as well. So yeah, we would recommend doing podcasts for your World Cup previews.
Yeah, and that starts on Thursday, I believe, the 20th.
Yes, it's coming up real quick.
The Women's World Cup. Let's do Wimbledon real quick, just because that is going to be quick. But, you know, it's always funny. I was in church yesterday watching Wimbledon on my phone, and probably like half the guys in church had it on their phone. And some, like, pretentious dude who I really don't like, he's like, oh, I didn't know everybody was so into tennis. I was like, well, it's the Wimbledon final. Like, if you're going to watch one tennis match, it's Wimbledon.
Yeah.
Djokovic had won four years in a row. Carlos Alcaraz, I almost said Alvarez, I apologize. Alcaraz, first set, lost 6-1. Was getting shellacked by Djokovic, and then figured it out. And the commentators, who obviously understand tennis much better than me, commented on not only how good he is, but how quickly he could figure it out, make adjustments on the fly to his game, and ended up grinding it out. The only four players had won Wimbledon in his lifetime: Djokovic, Nadal, Murray, and Roger Federer. Mm-hmm. So for those four players, really those three players, and Djokovic the last 4 years, it's crazy. Win Wimbledon 4 years in a row is nuts.
That is nuts.
But yeah, look, there's been a lot of young guys coming up. It looks like Alcaraz is the only one to be kind of the legitimate. And it's probably in part that Djokovic is 36 already, but But the dude looks good. Dude looks real good.
Yeah, no, he, yeah, Djokovic was very, very complimentary at the end after the game, saying that he kind of had parts of Djokovic's game, he had parts of Federer's and parts of Nadal, which makes sense, you know, because he grew up watching the best generation of tennis really ever, right? And so he had that advantage that the three guys that he was watching the most happened to be probably the three best men's tennis players of all time. It'd be interesting to hear him talk about, you know, watching the Williams twins in the women's game. I don't know how much overlap there is between the men's and the women's, but yeah, it looks like he's going to be, you know, winning a lot of tournaments from here on out.
Yeah. Should we do the Women's World Cup?
Let's talk about the Women's World Cup.
So, I'm really excited about this. I think this is one of my favorite tournaments. I don't know what it is. Obviously soccer, but I feel like with men's soccer, people are watching it much more than women's soccer throughout the year. So it is kind of cool to see the spotlight where people are actually like paying attention to women's soccer on a pretty serious basis. Uh-huh. So I think that's cool. You watch women's soccer more than anyone I know. Like you're watching, like I watch like the Champions League final with you and things like that, but you do a much better job of following it than I do, admittedly.
Yeah, I mean, I did a better job when the Royals were in Utah. That was one thing that got me motivated to watch. Also, when Chile did not qualify for the World Cup.
That was a bummer.
That was a bummer, so that kind of, brought down my enthusiasm a little bit. But still a lot of great players going to be in this tournament, a lot of good groups. And so, you know, some teams being back that haven't been there in a while. So, yeah, I think this is going to be a fun tournament.
So with the Men's World Cup, we went through, gave a group-by-group preview. I just don't think we admittedly know enough about, like, Panama or Portugal's or Zambia's women's team to do that.
Right.
So I think we'll just go through the favorites and talk about, you know, the United States, England, Germany, France, Australia, you know, the teams we think could potentially win.
Right.
And just kind of talk through them.
Yeah.
Now, let's start with Canada, if that's all right with you.
Let's start with Canada.
So, Olympic winners, mm-hmm. 2020, which was really 2021, so 2 years ago. Their best player is like 40, though. Most goals all time, from what I was reading, in Women's World Cup history. Olympic champion. So, coming into this, I was like, okay, I'm going to pick Canada. Really, really believe in them. Looking at the odds, and this is according to Sportsline on CBS.com. They have the 9th best odds at +2,500. For context, United States are +2,225. So basically, United States have 10 times better odds to win the World Cup than Canada. And I'm like, what is going on? They're ranked 7th in the FIFA rankings. Again, they have the, it seems like the Miroslav Klose, who was an awesome goal scorer for Germany of women's soccer. Do you know why they're not? Is that just a bad betting line? Do you know why they're not favorite projected to do a little better?
I mean, I would give them better odds. I think that they've, you know, I think bringing, you know, this foreign, forgive me for not having the name off the top of my head. She's obviously an excellent, excellent player. I don't know that she's as good as she has been in the past, right? They do have a lot of really good players. I think one of their better players, Ashley Lawrence, is a defender who just moved over to Chelsea, which is why I'm aware, is just because the Chelsea's women's team is one that I follow. So, yeah, I just think I'm a little bit worried about scoring for them. You know, I think mm-hmm. they've got a great team. They're definitely, I would pick them to get out of their group for sure. But, yeah, I just don't really know who's going to be scoring for them. And I just think there's other teams that are a lot more high-powered that I think are have a better chance. Christine Sinclair.
Yes.
So, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be depending on her. You know, I see Canada going far. I see them, you know, potentially going to the semifinals. But there's other teams here that I like more.
Because I came in to the research, like, Canada's going to pick the team – Canada's going to be my pick to win, which hurt me in my soul. So that's what I'm going to pick to win. I had some confirmation bias. Like, what's going to prove my point correct? What's going to prove me other point? Other teams are bad. And I just worries me. The best player they're pointing out is 40. You know, yeah. It's Christine Sinclair. And then I was like, well, England, they won the Euros, the defending Euro champs. Typically, I think, one of the top teams who play USA. But Leah Williamson's missing. On top of a couple of other girls, but Leah Williamson, for me, if Leah Williamson would be playing, I'd like England, no-brainer. Now I'm like, I don't know. But then you go to the USA, and they have, I don't know if we just kind of want to bounce back between these players that aren't playing in the World Cup. But like Mallory Swanson used to be Mallory Pugh, married to Dansby Swanson for the Chicago Cubs, who we were just talking about.
Oh, that's why we brought that up.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
She's injured. And she was a not the star, but I'd say a pretty big part of the last World Cup that we won as a young player. We got a young striker who's like 22 or something like that who's going to be a star, I think. And I think
Sophia Smith, yeah.
Yeah, I think she's going to take over. I think she's the leading scorer for the United States is my prediction. Everyone's saying Morgan, Alex Morgan or Rapinoe, but it's going to be Smith.
You think so? Yeah.
That's my pick. The best preview we could that I could find written down was by Sky Sports, which is a British news site, and the problem is the only people they were interviewing were former England soccer players, so they just kept saying England, except one current Swiss player who also said England, so that was a little, that was a good move for England, but like, if you're playing in the World Cup, why wouldn't you say your own team?
Yeah, that does seem, oh wait, she was a women's Swiss player?
Yeah.
Oh, that's crazy.
Literally, elite. She plays for Aston Villa in Switzerland, and she's like, I think England will win the World Cup because they're an amazing team. But all, basically 90% of these people picked England to beat the United States, but they're English. So I don't know how much I buy that.
You gotta take that with a grain of salt.
Yeah. But the other team that they mentioned quite a bit was Germany, who lost to England in the Euro finals.
Yeah, Germany looks good. They've got a really great team, second in the FIFA rankings right now. So yeah, and they've got a lot of really, really good players, so yeah, Germany's definitely a good pick. I think that England is probably a little bit of a deeper team, although Germany has a little bit more talent up at the top.
I think Germany's going to be pissed after losing the Euros, too.
Yes, no, yeah, they're going to be motivated. And that's going to be, I don't believe that Germany has ever won a Women's World Cup. Not a lot.
Haven't only like three teams won it, like Brazil, us, and Japan?
Let's see. Yeah, because Sweden has never won, and they're a team we'll want to talk about. So,
because teams I think can win, England, United States, Germany. Some people are talking about France because they had that whole thing with their soccer federation. They got a new coach, so people are like, that's going to bring a lot of positive energy. Not seeing it from France, though.
Yeah. So forgive me. Germany won twice in 2003 and 2007. Norway won in 95.
Oh, there you
go. Japan won in 2011. The U.S. has won all the other ones.
Oh, so Brazil's never won.
Brazil has never won.
So there's been four teams.
Yeah, there's been four teams, but neither of them has been Brazil. Brazil's been to the finals once, but have never actually won.
Now, speaking of old stars, Martin, we really are hopping back and forth more than we probably should. Marta is also up there in age. Like, I think Brazil might be a popular pick. On here, they're plus 2,500, same as Canada, just because they're Brazil. But I don't see them being anything legitimate in the tournament.
No.
No, I don't. I don't know how you feel, but
I think, you know, I know I talked about Sinclair, you know, being old and not going to be maybe as effective. I do still believe Marta's going to be as effective. Maybe not as effective as she was going to be 4 years ago. But she's a really, really great player. I don't know that they've got all of the talent to actually go ahead win the thing. I think they're not as deep as they probably need to be. But, you know, Marta's still going to be a really great player. She's going to score some goal in a clutch moment to win them a game. I don't know if that's going to be in the group stage or it's going to be in the knockout round. So I'm probably a little bit higher than you, but will not be picking Brazil to win.
Now, Australia, and we're bouncing around zero prep for you, so I feel like I'm making you scramble here. That's actually a team I do think could make some damage. I think the group lines up nicely in, like, the bracket. If England wins, if Australia and England both win their group, Australia has a nice little possible run. They can make, they're hosting, obviously. Uh-huh. I think they have a lot of young talent. So I think Australia is a team outside of those, like, top favorites that I mentioned that can make a little bit of a run. And that'd be my, Canada was going to be my dark horse, but I just can't. Australia is like one step above a dark horse, I guess. Because I think people are talking about it enough where it's not a dark horse.
Yeah. No, I like Australia. And I think, you know, I think you could call them a dark horse. I know it's the host country. I know people are talking about them. But really, it's not historically a team that's had a great soccer tradition, although the women's game has been, you know, a little bit more advanced than the men's. You know, Ellie Carpenter is a really, really good defensive player for them, playing for Lyon. And Lyon has been a team that's consistently been winning the Champions League or been in the Champions League finals, so she's going to be used to big moments. Also, Sam Kerr, Chelsea player, and, you know, one of the three best players in the tournament for sure. So for her to be playing in Australia, you just have to think that she's going to, I would pick her to win the Golden Boot. I don't know if Australia wins, but I would pick Sam Kerr to win the Golden Boot.
I think Sophia Smith's going to win the Golden. I'm all in on Sophia Smith.
She's a great player.
Now, let's talk about the USA last. So are there other teams you want to highlight before we do that?
Let me just look at the group rankings. I did want to talk a little bit about Colombia.
And I thought you were going to say Sweden.
No, Sweden's very, very, very good. You got to, you know, be aware of them. They're going to get out of the group stage for sure. But Colombia won the Copa America Femenina. No, they did not. They got... third, excuse. Oh, so they won their group, and so that ended up, getting them. Sorry, they have structured this really weird. Okay, so they lost to Brazil 1-0 in the finals of the Copa America. But I just talked about how I like Brazil, so maybe not Colombia to win the whole thing. But South American teams, it's taken them a little while to get their women's teams up to the level that the men's teams have played at. But Colombia is looking looking really, really good. So Colombia is sort of my dark horse that I wanted to talk about.
Okay, interesting. So I'm going with Australia. Well, I guess I'm going with Canada because we're not counting Australia as a dark horse. You're going with Colombia.
I'm going with Colombia, yeah.
Colombia sit at plus 15,000. So that's quite a little payout for you.
It is.
Yeah. So I bet $100 win $15,000.
That's a big win.
Bet $10 win $1,500. So that's still something to think about.
That's a good amount of money.
You know, we will be driving through Nevada where it's legal to bet.
That's true.
Let's talk about the United States. Here's what worries me. Megan Rapinoe is aging. Alex Morgan, I think this is her fourth World Cup as well. I think, though, she's still sprung enough to be pretty significant. Becky Sauerbrunn, injured. Mm-hmm. They don't have Jill Ellis at the helm anymore as the head coach. They have Vlatko Andonovski. I feel like Jill Ellis was a big part of that success. With that, Mallory Pugh / Mallory Swanson gone, Sauerbrunn injured, I'm just a little bit worried. Is why I would lean to pick. If it's USA versus the field, I'm picking the field.
Yeah.
I still might pick England to win, even though they're missing Leia Williamson, like we said, so I'm worried about that. So, I don't know. Do you want to talk me into even Julie Ertz? Like, all the stars are just, we've seen them for so long. I'm worried we've seen them for too long, you know?
Yeah. No,
Kelly O'Hara, who is my favorite player of all time. Mm-hmm. They're all in, like, their mid to late 30s.
They are, but, you know, like you said, we do have several young players Well, let's just talk about the forwards real quick. I think the only thing I need to say about the forwards is that we are so stacked up top that Ashley Hatch did not make the roster, who last year led the NWSL in goals.
Go Cougars.
Yeah, BYU player. Shout out to Ashley Hatch.
I had a huge crush on her in college.
Yeah. yeah, but I mean, we're just so good. You talked about Sophia Smith, one of the best players in the world. Trinity Rodman had a great, great debut year in the NWSL. Alex Morgan, still a fantastic player. Megan Rapinoe, I don't even think Megan Rapinoe's going to start, but she's going to be able to come in and get some good minutes for them. Just to talk about young players, though, like Rose Lavelle, people have not been talking about her with this World Cup. Still an absolutely phenomenal player. I love Rose Lavelle. She's a great midfielder. Lindsay Horan going to be captain this year. She is, on the older side, but I think, certainly not as old as Megan Rapinoe or Alex Morgan, so she's going to be fine. I feel the only thing I'm a little bit worried about is you really would like to have Becky Sauerbrunn here. But I like Naomi Girma a lot. Crystal Dunn as a wingback is going to be a really good defender. So I think it's just going to be who's that other center back that's going to play? Who's going to be stepping in for Becky Sauerbrunn? But I think if they can answer that question, and they can, because Alyssa Nayer is still one of the top goalkeepers in the world. And so I just feel we're going to score so many goals that it may not matter that Becky Sauerbrunn is gone.
We are. I think we're going to beat Vietnam 12-0. That's our first game, right? As one of those countries like that. I'm pretty sure it's Vietnam.
Yeah, so the USA is in a group. What group are they in? We're in group E. So we're with Vietnam. Yeah, Vietnam. Portugal, not a bad team, but international playoff winner, which means that they were pretty much the last team to get in from Europe. So still good team, still qualifying for the World Cup, but not as big of a challenge as some of the other teams. Netherlands, I do think, is quite a good team. So we're going to want to watch out for the Netherlands a little bit. But, you got to think that we're going to finish ahead of Portugal and Vietnam and be in a good spot for the knockout round.
I do think winning our group, I would put at a pretty high confidence level.
Yeah.
So, I honestly still haven't decided, just because every team I feel like has serious things that I'm concerned about, to the point where maybe I just pick Germany or Australia. I think, and to be clear, I'm cheering for the United States, obviously.
Yeah.
So no matter who I pick, I'm going to be watching every United States game except the one that's at 1 a.m. We'll be in California, so that'll be at midnight for us, so maybe we'll watch that. I'm going to go... I'll pick England to beat... I can't pick England to beat the United States. Dang it, am I going to pick the United States just because I'm biased? Who are you going to pick?
The U.S. is clearly the most talented team.
Okay. I'm worried about the back line. You think we're just going to score so many goals it won't matter, though?
Those are famous last words, because someone can get a good goal. I would... You're right. England is missing a lot of really important players. So this is not going to be the best England team.
Because England, United States are plus 225. I wouldn't bet them at that. I wouldn't bet them anyway because we live in Utah where you're not allowed to. But I don't feel good about that. I think the top, if I had to pick the top four, it'd be United States, England, Germany, and I would pick Australia. I don't know if the bracket will work out that way, but that's who I would pick as my final four teams. I'll pick the United States to beat Germany.
Okay.
Cool. Final answer.
I'm going to pick the U.S. to beat a team we have not talked about, Spain. We've not really mentioned Spain.
We haven't mentioned Spain. They're nestled in between Germany and France in terms of odds, plus 700.
Yeah, and the thing that I think about Spain is that Barcelona women's team has just been on a tear. They've been so good, win the Champions League. Alexia Putellas, you know, the most famous player from both Spain and Barcelona, won the Ballon d'Or 2 years in a row. She is coming back from a torn ACL last summer. But I think she's going to be able to. I think she's so good of a player that she's going to figure out how to be able to make an impact. And so I trust her. As well, they have another midfielder, Aitana Bonmati, also on that Barcelona team. And so I think with the two of them, they're going to be really creative. They're going to just be able to move the ball wherever they want. I just think that Spain is just going to control every single game that they play in. And so that, I think, is going to take them to the final.
I think those top six teams, well, A, if you count Sweden, Netherlands, even Canada, well, I guess you throw in Brazil, Japan won the World Cup 10 years ago or 12 years ago or whatever. Norway used to be one of the top teams, kind of in a down period right now. There's a lot of good teams, a lot of competitive teams as well. So I think it's going to be a really exciting tournament.
Yeah. Should be fun.
Should we do our top five real quick?
Let's do the top five.
Okay, here's the top five. It is current NFL logos.
Ooh, okay.
Current NFL logos.
Current NFL logos.
Not old school ones.
Yeah.
So the Broncos are not going to make the list.
Yes.
I did do this in about 2 minutes, so if I missed something, let me know.
Okay.
Number five will go to the Colts. I think it's simple, classic, horseshoe.
Good.
I think it's respectable. Mm-hmm. Number four will go to the Raiders. I don't love it, but I like it. The silver and black, it's like classic.
Uh-huh.
Four Raiders. Three of the Chiefs, I think the Arrowhead's really cool. I think it's obviously named Arrowhead Stadium. So I like that. So we'll go Chiefs 3. We'll go Dolphins 2.
Mm.
And Saints number 1. I like the Florida Lee. The golden black is sick. So Florida Lee. So 5 Colts, 4 Raiders, 3 Chiefs, 2 Saints, 1 Dolphins. Not considered were, I think a lot of people are going to be like, well, what about the Cowboys? I don't know. I'm not really here for it.
Yeah.
New York, if it was Giants instead of NY, they would have been on there. The Rams are dumb. I think the Niners have great jerseys, but I don't like love the logo in and of itself.
Interesting.
Washington is just a W. Yeah, those are my top five.
Okay.
There weren't as many good logos. Like Baltimore, I don't like. The Eagles, same thing. I like their jerseys and I like the old school logo of the Eagles, but not, I don't love like the current.
Dwarf. Yeah, the old school logo is better. I like the Eagles logo. I don't think it's a top of the top. I probably would have the 49ers in the top five. I just think maybe it's just because it's old school and it's, you know, kind of nostalgia.
Yeah.
The one thing, the team that's not in there that I think, and because you didn't say Steelers, right?
Mm-mm.
I think Steelers.
It's just what is it?
Absolutely not. I don't know. It's the Steelers. I think it's absolutely number one.
You think it's number one?
Absolutely.
What is it?
I don't care. It's just the Steelers thing. And it's like, and I think that's why I like it, because they don't really have a mascot. Like, I guess it's somebody working in a steel mill. But I just think it's so.
They just added ERS to a noun.
Yeah. I don't know. I just think it's such an iconic logo. You don't see it really anywhere else except for Huachipato, a Chilean soccer team.
I was going to ask if you remember that. They're in like Antofagasta or something like that. Yeah.
So there is one Chilean soccer team that just uses the Steelers logo.
When I'd been in Chile for like 2 weeks, there was a kid who had one of those like jerseys on from whatever the team name is.
Yeah.
And I asked him in terrible Spanish. I was like, oh, do you like the Steelers? And he's like, I've never seen a person more confused in my entire life. Because I'm sure I asked him terribly. Yeah, it's literally the same logo. Huachipato is what it's called?
Huachipato. It's technically, they have flipped it, so it's
to avoid any copyright?
I guess so, but I don't think NFL teams copyright their logos. I think that's why all the high school teams use NFL logos.
That's true. I also don't know if the Steelers are paying attention to, like, second division Chilean soccer or whatever division they're in.
Right, yeah.
But, yeah, I was super confused when I saw that logo.
So, yeah, I think the Saints definitely need to be high. Houston Texans open near the bottom. I like the Chargers logo.
I think it's, like, fine.
It's fine. I think if we were doing helmet decals, this would be a little bit different. Yes. I think that would bring the Chargers up quite a bit.
On a helmet, it looks cool. Yeah. Yeah, but just, like, the logo in and of itself is fine. I do have old school logos, so maybe that'll be when we come back from California. We'll do, like, an old school logos one.
I like it.
I also have another one I'm working on is college football rivalries that don't play anymore. So we're excited for that. Also, I'm working on the article, favorite college football player from every team. That should probably come out sometime we're in California because that's easy to work on. So I'm going to try to finish it this week at work. Anything else before we sign off for another couple weeks?
I think this is going to be the closest, especially when we get to the knockout rounds, the closest, the smallest gap in talent we've ever had. So yeah, it's
going to
be fun.
We are going to beat Vietnam 11-0, but other than that,
yeah,
close. So I'm excited. Yeah, definitely watch that. Appreciate everybody listening. Appreciate Jacob for coming on the show. Apologize for the technical difficulties. Hopefully you can hear him all right. While you're at it, feel free to leave us a 5-star review or comment if you haven't done so. And we'll talk to you guys when we get back from California.